I've always enjoyed late night walks. There's something about the stillness that makes everything feel simpler. I'm a welder by trade, been doing it for over 40 years now. I live alone on a big farm, just me and my dog Bosley. The house is too large for one person, but I never had the heart to downsize after my wife Maria passed away. My kids moved out years ago, and ever since cancer took her, it's just been me and Bosley. One night, after a long day in the shop, I decided to go for a walk. My property is pretty big, so just a single loop is usually enough to satisfy my craving. The air was cool, and Bosley trotted along beside me. Sometimes I think he likes me more than I like him. I've walked that loop hundreds of times, but as I was heading back toward the house, something caught my eye. I glanced up at the second-story window, the one that looks out from the bedroom Maria and I used to share. For a split second, I thought I saw something move. I stopped dead in my tracks, staring up at that window. There was no reason anyone should be in there. I hadn't been in that room in years, couldn't bring myself to. I felt my blood start to boil at the thought of some stranger breaking into my house. I wasn't gonna stand for that. I rushed inside, my heart racing, and ran upstairs. The room was empty, just like I'd left it. No sign of anything out of place. I looked everywhere imaginable, but found nothing. Yes, I was pretty freaked out, but I was more angry than anything. I didn't take this kind of thing lightly. I figured I had just seen something that wasn't there. I stood there for a while, feeling foolish, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something had been there. The next night, I woke up to Bosley growling. He's a good dog, never barks unless there's something to bark at. I sat up in my bed, listening. That's when I heard creaking coming from upstairs. It could have just been the sounds of my old house, but my mind went directly to footsteps, which were coming from right above me. I'm sure you could guess which room is directly above mine. I debated grabbing my hunting rifle from downstairs, but didn't want to go that far. If it came down to it, I was fully confident that I could take whatever was up there hand to hand. I grabbed my flashlight and went to check. Again, nothing. The room was exactly the same, untouched. My anger was definitely starting to turn into anxiety at this point. Something didn't feel right in the house. The following night, I came downstairs to find the kitchen lights on. I know I turned them off before bed. I don't leave lights on. There was no question anymore. Someone was in my house. I started to panic. I called the police and told them I thought someone might be sneaking around. They came out, searched the house from top to bottom, but found nothing. They were nice about it, told me to call again if I needed them, but I could tell they didn't believe me. The next night was the worst by far. I couldn't sleep, so I decided to go upstairs and check the bedroom again. I don't know why. Maybe I thought it would settle my mind, but when I opened the door, I froze. There were clothes scattered all over the floor, Maria's clothes. I had packed them away after she died. Now they were everywhere. Something like this doesn't just happen randomly. And then I saw her. There was a woman standing in the doorway, just staring at me. I couldn't see her face clearly, but I could tell she wasn't Maria. She was too short. I don't know who she was, but she didn't belong there. I had never been so afraid in my life. Without thinking, I ran at her. She turned and bolted down the stairs and out the front door. By the time I got outside, she was gone. I searched the property with Bosley, but there was no trace of her. I didn't sleep that night. For months after that, I couldn't sleep. I was constantly on edge, convinced I heard footsteps upstairs at night. Every little noise set me off. I slept with my rifle next to my bed, terrified that I'd have to use it one night. Every little noise set me off. I debated calling my brother to come stay with me, but I wasn't gonna do that. I was raised to always handle my own shit, so that's what I did. The nightmare didn't end, though. One night, I was sitting in the living room when I noticed a figure standing in the yard, looking straight at me through the window. It was her again. My heart felt like it stopped. I grabbed my hunting rifle and ran outside, Bosley close behind. She was still there, just a silhouette in the moonlight, watching me. I fired a few warning shots into the air, hoping to scare her off. That was enough to get her to turn and run into the darkness, but it's not like that made me feel any better. I was literally being tormented by some random woman who was probably homeless. I couldn't even imagine why this was happening to me. I stood there for a long time, waiting to see if she'd come back. She never did. I haven't seen her since, but I know it's only a matter of time. I'm fully prepared to defend myself, but I don't think living in perpetual anxiety like this is sustainable. Thank God for Bosley. I have no idea what I'd do without him. I'll send an update if anything happens. I work for a catering service, which means I'm on the road a lot, usually late at night. I spend most of my time lugging stuff from place to place in this massive truck the company makes me drive. It's not the worst job in the world, but the hours suck, and it's not at all what I thought I'd be doing with my life. By the time I get home, I'm either so wired from caffeine that I can't sleep, or I pass out the second I hit the bed and stay that way for 12 hours. I was driving back home one night at like 2 a.m., It was nice to be driving my own car again. As I was approaching my house, I realized I had probably had one too many Red Bulls and there was no way I'd be able to sleep. On top of that, I hadn't eaten in hours and I was starving. There's a McDonald's right off the highway about 10 minutes from my house. It's usually my first choice when it comes to late night snacks since it's just so convenient. I'm not even one to gorge myself on fast food. I just occasionally get this weird craving that only a handful of fries can satisfy. It's obviously 24/7, and I figured some comfort food would be the perfect thing to help me wind down. I don't remember exactly what time it was, but it was definitely after 2 by the time I pulled into the drive-thru. There were a few cars ahead of me, which I was actually kind of surprised by. It's not like this McDonald's was a busy spot at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday. As I was sitting there impatiently, I found myself staring off into space, wondering what was taking so long. That's when I noticed something strange. There was an old, beat-up Volkswagen with its windows tinted backed into a spot in the very corner of the lot. The McDonald's itself was only accepting drive-thru orders at this hour, so it did make sense why there'd be a car in the lot. There were reserved spots on the other side for employees, so it couldn't have been one of them. I figured it was maybe just someone eating in their car, which it probably was. I myself did that from time to time, so I guess I couldn't judge. It was just an odd sight, to be completely honest. I got my food and started driving away. I didn't want to go home just yet, but I also didn't want to just sit there idling my car. I began racking my brain, trying to think of a good place to scarf down the food. I live in a pretty lush area, so there's honestly a lot of options, but I didn't want to beat around the bush too much considering how late it was. There's a massive nature preserve literally down the street from my house. It's situated on a mountain and is essentially just an enormous forest. The kicker is that there's a scenic lookout point at the peak with a view of the city. There's a road that loops around the perimeter of the preserve and will take you right to the peak, which is nice during the day. After the preserve closes, though, the road is inaccessible to cars, but still a convenient path to get to the peak without having to walk through any woods. I used to go there with my friends from high school all the time. It was kind of a default spot when we wanted to be outside. We'd hang out, talk, smoke, or just appreciate the view. I actually hadn't been there in a while because I was just so busy working all the time, so I figured going there would deliver a much-needed nostalgia rush. When I got to the preserve parking area, it was completely empty. I say parking area because it wasn't a traditional parking lot with spaces for cars, but rather a big patch of gravel that veered off from one of the roads that ran past the preserve's border. Like I said, the actual preserve was closed, meaning I'd have to walk all the way up to the lookout spot from outside. Before I could even turn off the engine, I saw headlights pulling into the lot. That was unsettling enough on its own. Who else would be here at 2 a.m.? And then I realized what I was looking at. It was that same Volkswagen from the McDonald's parking lot. I was 100% certain of it. I parked a little ways away, and the engine cut off. I felt the unease start to pour in. What were the odds of that happening naturally? Had they followed me? My window was partially rolled down, and as far as I could tell, there was no music coming from that car, or at least none that I could hear. After nothing happened for a good minute or so, my fear started to fade. They were probably doing the same thing I was, out for some fresh air or a smoke. It's a pretty popular spot for that kind of thing, but I was just so weirded out considering how late it was. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off, even though I concluded that it was just one of those unexplainable coincidences. I sat there for a minute, debating if I should just go home. I didn't want to leave, but I didn't want to be alone either. I picked up my phone and FaceTimed one of my close friends who lived a few minutes away. I told myself that if he didn't pick up, I'd just eat my food in the car and drive home. He was actually awake, though, which I was a little surprised by. He said he had been up writing a paper. I convinced him to swing by and hang out for a bit. He was down. He said he'd be there in 10. While I waited, I kept my eyes on the Volkswagen. It still hadn't moved. I tried to shake it off, telling myself I was being paranoid. When Sebastian finally pulled into the lot, I felt a lot better. We both got out of our cars and began walking up the path. Before the parking lot fully receded from view, I shot a glance backwards. The Volkswagen was still there, but I saw all four doors open at once. Four guys stepped out. They just stood there for a few seconds, looking at each other. They weren't even talking, just looking around at each other. It was freaky. I nudged Sebastian, who realized what I was looking at. Before they could see us, we continued walking up the path so that the lot was obstructed from view. Alarm bells were going off in my head, but Sebastian didn't seem that concerned. He told me they were probably just going out to smoke. We kept walking, and by the time we got to the top, the city view was enough to take my mind off things. We always sat on this little rock wall that was supposed to keep people from wandering off the edge of the mountain. We sat there, eating and talking like we used to. It was nice. Of course, that nice feeling didn't last very long. We heard the sound of talking and laughter quickly approaching us. We turned around to see three guys walking towards us, sharing what looked like a blunt. They were acting friendly enough, which definitely calmed my nerves a little. Instead of finding their own spot, though, they walked right up to us like they wanted to start a conversation. The guy in the blunt was covered in tattoos and had a nose ring. He honestly looked pretty intimidating. He flashed half a smile before asking us if we wanted to smoke. We both said no, and one of the other guys laughed and called us pussies, to which Sebastian scoffed at. My curiosity got the better of me, and I blurted out a question about what they were doing at McDonald's. The guy holding the blunt dropped his smile instantly and narrowed his eyes, like he was caught off guard by my question. His two friends did the same, staring at us with cold expressions. They didn't say anything for an uncomfortably long time. That's when I remembered that there had been four guys in that car, not three. One of them was missing. At that point, I was fully prepared to run. I knew Sebastian was thinking the same thing. Finally, the ringleader told us that he worked nights and that he had just gotten off. He pulled his hoodie up to reveal a McDonald's uniform, I think because he knew we wouldn't have believed him otherwise. He then went on to say he came to the spot every day after work to smoke with his friends. While that definitely calmed me down a bit, something about this situation was terribly off. I could tell Sebastian felt the same. We decided it was time to go. As we started walking down the path, Sebastian stopped and pointed into the trees. I followed his gaze and saw the fourth guy, half hidden in the darkness. He was holding something, but I couldn't make out what it was. I felt my heart start racing. The moment he saw us looking, he started moving. That's when we ran. We bolted down the path, glancing back to see him chasing us with the three other guys close behind. My heart was pounding so hard I thought it would burst. I could hear their footsteps getting closer, but I didn't look back again. We finally made it to the parking lot, jumped into our cars, and floored it out of there. As I was speeding away, I could see those guys rushing to get in their car. I didn't feel comfortable driving home out of fear that I'd be leading them right to my house. I called Sebastian and told him we should meet back up on his street. We had a decent head start on them, and I don't think we were followed, but I wasn't taking any chances. When Sebastian and I met back up, we were still in shock about what the hell just happened. I don't know if they were trying to rob us or worse. I didn't know what to think. Sebastian showed me his phone and said he had snuck a picture of them while they weren't looking. He sent it to me, but I wasn't sure what to even do with it. I had off the next day, so I convinced Sebastian to come with me back to the McDonald's so we could at least report the employee. The next day, we approached a guy on the younger side in hopes that he'd listen to us. We showed him the picture and told him what happened, and his eyes widened. He told us something literally out of a horror movie. Apparently, that guy's girlfriend had also worked at that same McDonald's and had dumped him a few months ago. He didn't take it well and would harass her while she was working and stalk her after her shifts. He obviously got fired, but that didn't help. The police were involved shortly after, and there was a restraining order put in place. Apparently, he had been violating that restraining order because he was camping out in the parking lot. Sebastian and I were horrified. I have no idea why he'd decide to follow me, but it was clear that he was unhinged. I'm praying that the police catch him camping out in the parking lot, because then he'll actually be screwed. I just hope he doesn't recognize my car anywhere. It's only been a week, but I haven't been back to that McDonald's or the preserve since. Hopefully the police are able to do something, but that's out of my control. Forgive me if I don't remember every detail of the story. It happened a while ago. I grew up in Ardmore, Pennsylvania. Not much goes on around here, so finding things to do can be a challenge. In high school, a few friends and I would sneak into and explore old, abandoned buildings. That's the sort of thing we did at that age. I didn't realize how popular that kind of stuff is until many years later. Apparently, lots of people like to explore abandoned buildings. Anyway, there was this abandoned church that we'd been to a couple of times before. It was in Narberth. I actually remember the exact address, 198 Elmwood Avenue. The place was creepy, but it was kind of our go-to spot for late-night thrills. One fall evening, a few of us decided to hit the church and drink a little inside. It was a chilly night, and the air had that crisp bite to it. There were six of us, me, Luna, Gina, Johnny, Max, and Allie. The church sat behind an 8-foot chain-link fence, which we had to climb to get in. The doors were all boarded up, so we always went through a window on the side. Once you were inside, the first thing you noticed was the floor, or lack of one. The entire first floor was just dirt. It looked like someone had ripped out the floorboards years ago, leaving only a hole in the center where a set of concrete stairs led down to the basement. That's where we always ended up, down in the basement. The basement had 3 rooms, but only one had a door. The other two just had door frames. The first room we went into was the largest. There wasn't much in it, just some old furniture. Broken chairs, a busted couch. I remember having to shush Johnny like 12 times because he was a lightweight, and the tiny bit of alcohol he had was making him really loud and antsy. Being in such a big group was always a plus though, and I felt much safer knowing we had numbers. We messed around for a while, drinking and laughing like we usually did. We might have had a speaker playing music, but I don't fully remember. Out of nowhere, a door slammed. I literally jumped, that's how loud it was. We froze, staring at each other with concerned expressions. At first, I thought one of us had closed the door by accident, but no one was near it. Almost immediately, Luna, Gina, and Johnny made a break for it, sprinting up the stairs, leaving me, Max, and Allie behind. We were the fearless ones, and none of us wanted to leave just yet. My heart was definitely pounding, I fully admit that, but I wasn't gonna let the wind freak me out. I could tell Max and Allie were thinking the same thing. I don't know if it was curiosity or stupidity, but we decided to investigate. After standing in silence for a few minutes, the three of us crept over to open the door that had slammed shut. Behind it was a small room, and the first thing I saw was a dresser. The mirror on top of it was cracked, and there were red stains smeared across the surface. At first, I thought it was old paint or something, but when I got closer, I realized something terrifying. It wasn't completely dry. The stains still had that sticky sheen to them, like whatever it was hadn't been there for long. I felt the hairs on my neck stand up, and I was having second thoughts about not leaving sooner. Someone, or dare I say something, had recently been in this room. Then I saw the picture. There was an old photo on top of the dresser, a black and white shot of a woman in a wedding dress. She was smiling, but there was something off about it. The whole thing gave me a bad feeling. I backed away. But just as I turned, we heard another noise. This time, it wasn't the door. It was coming from one of the other rooms. It was coming from the room we had just been in. That's when Max and Allie both decided they'd had enough. I wasn't gonna argue with them. We grabbed our stuff and ran out of there as fast as we could. When we climbed back over the fence and hit the pavement, none of us said a word. After jumping the fence, I turned around. And I could swear I saw the silhouette of a person standing in the open window. I still pray that by some minuscule chance my mind was just playing tricks on me, but I'll never know for sure. My friends and I never went back there together for as long as we remained friends. I've actually been back to that church myself, although it wasn't a church anymore. By the time I got around to checking it out again, it was completely demolished. I still have no idea what we saw that night. I'm just glad my friends were there to witness it with me. Had I been alone, I might doubt this whole thing even happened. If anyone wants to do some digging, go ahead. I was never able to find out anything online, but I wouldn't be surprised if that church has a history I don't know about.